If you're looking for a clean, sober, professional, academic,
well-researched, historically accurate, generally accurate, serious podcast
on Southern folklore, ghosts, bizarre events, and unique people,
this podcast is not for you.
However, if you've decided you can live with that,
then join us for The Strange South.
To do the fondos and everything, that the challenge, so they're used to hostels and they would actually take it, but they can't, it can't smell like somebody shat in it times. Like,
yeah, for sure.
No shatting. I'm sorry, I don't understand why it can't smell like shatting.
Actually, there are probably a lot of like hostels that smell like shit.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, it's the cesspool of humanity.
I'm judging. It's just
insane.
Oops. Oh my God!
Shush.
Your mother, that was hilarious.
My mom today. Said, Corey was saying something about like on some video game. They and their boyfriend made a bunch of cat houses, and Gigi's like, "Do you know cat houses is a word for something else?" And everybody just kind of went silent. And Corey's like, "No," and nobody's saying anything. And then Randy's like, Gigi, tell us what cat houses refers to.
That would have been me. I was like, no, do tell, Gigi. What are we talking about?
That's so funny. She's like, that's a places where people of ill repute.
Yeah, she did say, oh, it's a house of ill repute.
She was so funny.
Ill repute.
Ill repute.
What is repute?
Reputation.
Ah.
A house of ill repute.
Poor reputation.
But she said it with a giggle.
One of those. Yeah, it was funny.
It was cute. Yeah, it was funny.
It was pretty funny.
She was
funny.
Like, you made
she
me
She was
say
like,
it.
Oh, cat house. And I was just like, yeah.
It's like, Gigi's like a cat got house. Gutter brain.
We're raising a cat
Easter
in the cat houses. And then she said that.
I never thought. I don't remember. That must be an older, like, epithet than I'm aware
cat
of.
Cat house?
I didn't know cat house. Yeah,
are you
I
serious?
I didn't know. Yeah. I didn't know cat
brothel
house.
Name from way back.
I
oh yeah,
know cat house.
Cat,
oh,
you
Lord
know, down here.
I know. I totally. Wow. If only you could see
the demonstration going on.
Me? It was just a pointing motion. I didn't do anything else.
Did you not watch like the
Cat House? There was a HBO or
well
something.
Also I was gonna say the Little House of Horror. That's not it.
Little House on the Prairie?
No.
Little Shop of Horrors?
No.
Little, God damn it.
No. Dolly Parton?
Yeah.
What?
The best little whorehouse in Texas.
Oh, I was like, how did we get from Little Shop of Horrors to Dolly Parton?
We should probably start the show. This is
Six
gold.
Dolly Parton.
Oh my gosh. Hi, Marleya.
Hi, Patrice.
Hey,
hi,
Courtney.
Hi, I'm glad I'm here to keep things on track.
Yes,
so, Best Little Whorehouse in Texas is one of my favorite childhood musical.
Oh, that's funny.
I remember that from another episode.
Hard Candy Christmas.
Oh, is that where it's from?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
I remember hearing that in a Waffle House, and you were singing along with it on our way home from Tennessee one time, and I was like, what?
Oh, I know the song.
Like the whole dance numbers. I mean, and everything. I was fascinated. Like, first of all, I love Dolly Parton, and
I'm
like that's
barely getting through.
Have you listened to the Beyonce
Next is Hold 'em
album?
Yeah.
She covered Dolly Parton in that, didn't
yeah
she?
Yeah, and that's
I haven't listened yet. I
that's
haven't had a
where
chance. This happened on Friday, so we're this is a happy Transvisibility Day late and happy Easter late to everyone. This is when we're recording.
Yes.
Oh, that
so nice. The big famous song that Dolly does that everybody's done.
Jolene?
No, not Jolene.
What? No.
I Will Always Love You.
I Will Always Love You was
hey,
from
nah.
Yeah, that one. She sings to Burt Reynolds.
Yeah, I knew that
Best
one was
Little
from Best Little Whorehouse
in Texas. You've got to watch Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
Okay, so it couldn't have been well known by the time Whitney Houston took it over because everybody was like, wait a minute.
No, it was
somebody
very,
sang this song
it
before?
It was very well known.
It wasn't in, like, my town.
Okay, well, it was very well known.
Down here.
I
like,
don't
Best
belong
Little Whorehouse in Texas was, like,
belong
very popular in the South.
I Will Always Love You was very well known.
Yes.
And everybody was like, okay,
mm-hmm,
she and did it all right, Whitney. That's good. She
yeah
did it.
Well,
she
I
did
mean, Whitney can fucking
she did
sing
it.
Well, like, you know the way that you know, my everybody was surprised. How? Let's see. What year did the Bodyguard
like
come
1993?
Out? So I was
maybe 94
sophomore in high school.
Yeah, I never watched that.
I was Yeah. I was like 16.
His Dances with Wolves, dude. I mean, I never got into him. He just always seems so square.
Oh, he's a bad actor.
He's so square.
He's such a nice person, maybe. Not so much, probably not. They said recently.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't like Dances with Wolves. They shot all the animals. So I was like, spoilers, everybody. They right? shoot all the animals. Don't watch.
Excuse me. We're doing 30-year-old spoilers real quick.
30-year-old spoilers. Spoilers for Dances with Wolves.
They're like, is that a movie or something? Yeah.
No, it's come back around again. I can still do spoilers. Watch. I didn't know that I Will Always Love You was a Dolly Parton song. That's a spoiler.
Oh, my. Oh, stop. Stop the recording.
Till right now?
No, I did know now. Oh. I knew before now.
Oh.
But like when the movie came out is what I'm saying. That's why when I said everybody was surprised that it was a country song, it was because like everybody in my world at that time was 16-year-old white kids in suburban D.C.
She made Yankees.
I mean, Yanks. I mean, the Yanks. I'm a Yankee. I don't belong. I'm so
sorry. Get out of here right now.
No, I'm sorry. I can't believe you guys let me do this.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I got to take a minute.
This is it. This is the breaking point, everybody. I'm sorry.
After all these years.
We just jumped the shark.
This is it. This is the end now. She's turning on me.
After all these years, she's turned on my God.
Okay. So requirement viewing for next time. Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. Gotta say,
we and then the bodyguard.
That. No, fuck the bodyguard. Fuck the bodyguard.
She does.
I like the bodyguard. I'll watch it.
I've got the bodyguard on my list. It's like the first movie on my
list. You
were gonna
say I've got it on VHS.
No, I don't have the bodyguard on VHS.
Oh my God.
Okay. So,
all right. So let's talk about this delicious drink that we've already had like one and a half of.
Ooh, is that what's happening?
And it's basic. Patrice White.
It's like it's basic.
It's basic Patrice White favorite drink ever. And I'm so glad.
Who's Patrice White?
Patrice White. White Patrice. She told about, you I already had one and a half.
She's talking about your basic.
I'm basic, super white.
Well, and that she said that because I don't think I've made this here before.
I think you have. You've made a lemon drop, I think.
You've made something similar? I don't think you've made a lemon drop.
I don't think you've made a lavender lemon drop.
Well, I made a lavender
lemon
drop.
In 2024.
I know I haven't in 2024.
Yeah.
I've really gotten on these the last couple of weeks because I guess it's spring and today's Easter and it feels very
refreshing. And like,
it's so simple to make. It's just fresh squeezed lemon juice. And instead of just simple syrup, which is good enough, like you can just do a simple syrup. And I don't think you can really taste the lavender. I didn't steep it very long. But simple syrup and sugar rim. That's it.
Oh, it's delicious.
That's it.
You know,
it's vodka. Forgot that part.
Oh, yeah, there's vodka. Well,
there's a little bit of vodka.
Vodka, simple syrup, and fresh squeezed lemon juice with a sugar rim because it's very tart. The sugar part is really what, you know, it's not very sweet. The drink is not.
It's a
until
good,
you have the sugar.
Yeah, it's
right?
a good crunch contrast.
Too.
Yeah.
It's the texture.
Yeah, the lavender simple
syrup.
I've
been watching a lot of Top Chef, and I really appreciate the balance of flavors in this drink.
Thank you very much.
Textures.
So it would be like, oh, it's like you're going to go sit at a bar. Let me get a lemon drop. I'll have a lemon drop. But really, if they're made well, I mean, it's just classic.
It's classic.
It's like Zach Braff ordering an apple.
That's right. Zach Braff and his apple teeny and scrubs. Except, no, it's green and this is all fresh.
Super fresh. Super perfect.
Super fresh.
And it's so drinkable, obviously.
It's just like lemonade.
It's just like lemonade, but better.
It's just better. Because it has vodka in it.
Vodka makes everything better.
Yeah, it's really good. I've made them several times in the last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And tonight I was like, well, am I going to do this again? So, yeah, I did because I have the juicer. 9 lemons I squeezed. And got,
you have to do the 9 lemons, though. Like, you got to commit to the lemon squeezing.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't commit to the lemon squeezing, it's
commit to the squeeze.
It's not going to be good.
Nope.
You have to do the fresh so that you are, like, in the throes of like springtime and rejuvenation and rebirth.
The lavender does add a little bit of more sweetness, I think, than I've
probably
It does add a little bit of like a different layer to it.
Well, I wonder how many lavender flowers it takes to make a really strong lavender flavor. Because remember at Dread River, like they had a ton of lavender flower in their syrup, and you just really couldn't taste it that much in that one drink that we had.
I wonder, like, if the lavender, like, because the lavender honey is very popular in coffee.
Mm-hmm. That's an extract. I guarantee.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wonder, like, what kind of chemicals they're like, or like concentrations that they have.
I think it's an extract. Yeah.
It's like,
but it's delicious.
It is delicious.
Well, cheers.
Cheers, everybody.
Cheers
to your lavender lemon.
Please check out the website, thestrangesouth.com.
For the recipes.
The recipe. And sign up for our mailing list. And sign up for our Shopify store.
Oh, we have a bunch of really cool shit for you to drink out of.
Yes.
I don't know if you're aware, but like if you hop onto our website, our store has different glasses for different drinks, which is very important to bartender Courtney.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Very upset if you drink a drink out of the wrong glass.
Oh my God. Yes. You will be shamed. So go to shop.thestrangesouth.com to see all of our merchandise and wares and glassware and boots and t-shirts.
Oh, the boots are cool.
And
yeah, I love the boots.
Totes and caps. Totes. We got like a really cheap trucker's cap right now that you need to take advantage of before I go in and change the price. There's also like an embroidered like little
beanie. Bargain.
Yeah, toboggan, which I mean, it's summertime, but like it's still snowing up north. So like all you Yankees go up there and do that.
Solidarity.
We love you.
We love you. We have a Yankee here.
I'm not really. They say, that's funny.
Yeah. Dolly Parton.
Are we pausing?
Let's pause and take a break, and we'll be right back with the next story.
Yeah.
Do you want more Strange South every week? We can help. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and you can join our Facebook fan group, Fans of the Strange South Podcast, to keep the chat going with our whole creepy community. Do you have a story idea for us, or a story of your own to share? Email us at stories@thestrangesouth.com. Plus, if you join our Patreon, you not only help support the podcast, you get free swag, extras, exclusives, and a discount on merch. You can find links to all these things on our website, thestrangesouth.com, along with photos, links, and show notes from every episode, Strange South t-shirts, mugs, stickers, and other goodies. See you there.
Why are you looking at me then?
All right,
back. I'm going to listen and not talk at all this episode.
Randy, you're coming back.
And we're back.
Hi.
Remember what I told you.
Secrets.
I'm scared now. I'm so scared.
No, you're not.
I'm scared.
You're not scared. I tell you how you
not,
feel.
I tell you how you feel. All right, y'all.
Wait, you pump?
Shh.
What?
No. Okay.
She's drunk.
All right. So I do want to give out, on all seriousness, a content warning. So this narrative I'm about to talk about deals with the theme of suicide.
Ooh.
And while it's a part of the story, we totally understand it can be distressing or triggering for some listeners. So just be aware. If you or someone you know is struggling, we encourage you to seek support somewhere from someone. There's actually a new number when I was looking up like how to get in contact with somebody, and you can just call 988. Did y'all know about the 988
number?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I did not know about that. That's so
it's
simple.
It's recent.
I can remember
it's
that.
It's past couple years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's a national number for all mental health, substance use, and suicide crisis. And in the fall of 2022, the 988 Lifeline began a pilot program to offer special call, text, and chat support for the LGBTQIA+ youth and adults. And so full gamut, awesome, 24/7, it's counseling, it's support. If you even think like of any, like if you're like sitting there and being like, well, should I or shouldn't I, just like go ahead.
And you can text. You don't have to call.
Yeah, you can't, like, which would, like, I think is such a smart thing to do, yeah, because I would much rather text than, like, talk to somebody. I just, me personally, I'm not a call person. And if I'm having a crisis, I definitely do not want to talk to anybody. You can also call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which is 1-800-273-TALK or 1-800-273-8255. And you can also text them with just the 8255, which is TALK, on your keypad. And, of course, all of this is anonymous, and you can also get free counseling. Plus, it's so much easier nowadays to get therapist and get help online without having to, like, really go through the process of talking to people or talking to people in your area. So take advantage of that and know that there's always people out there to help you no matter what you're going through in life. Okay, so that's my little caveat. When I was like 4 or 5 years old, my mom had this wooden box, and it was from Japan, but it had like no hinges. And it had a sliding, or it had sliding panels that you could like move and pull out and rearrange. And then when you figured out like this little puzzle, it opened up like a little small compartment. And it was so, like, I remember being absolutely fascinated by it. Over the years, I have like no idea what happened to it, although I probably, because I was 4 or 5, broke it or misplaced it. A panel, and my mom threw it out because I broke it or misplaced a panel, because, you know, I was 4 or 5 and I was a very hands-on, curious, feral child. So when Hellraiser by Clive Barker came out, I was like, whew, that was close. Probably cool that I broke the Japanese puzzle box, because I could have like seriously summoned some spawns of Satan with that, otherwise known as Cenobites, which sounds a lot like Cinnabons.
Yes.
I was going to say, I've never seen Hellraiser.
Okay,
so.
Put that on your list.
Pinhead.
Fair enough. He did have a pin face. So Clive Barker's puzzle box is called the Lament Configuration. And it's a lock puzzle box, just like my little Japanese wooden box, but it was like way fancier. And apparently in the series, there are different lament configurations. And one of the best known ones is the La Marchand. I'm fucking mispronouncing this. The La Marchand, La Marchand, fuck it. I don't know. I haven't watched it in a while. Box. Anyway, it referred to... It was referred to in Barker's The Hellbound Heart, which was the novella. In which Hellraiser, the movie, was based off of. So anyway, it acted like a door, or a door and a key, that opened up another dimension that let the Cinnabons come in, right? I'm sorry. I'm going to call them Cinnabons because that's just what they are.
That makes me want to watch the movie more.
Absolutely. Yeah, they did not do that.
They were not as fun as Cinnabons.
They were not as fun as Cinnabons. So interestingly, the lament configuration is intended to be like our... You know, this has been kind of argued online, of course. Everything's argued online. A Christian version of hell. Instead of my version of hell, which would be car rider line back in elementary school, where I would fall asleep and someone would honk their fucking horn at me just so I can move up a car length.
Or TSA in Atlanta for all eternity.
For all eternity. Exactly. Exactly. So if you're not versed in the Hellraiser lore, he has a few more interesting things about the La Marchand box. The maker was Philip La Marchand, I know I'm pronouncing that wrong, who originally made the mechanical singing birds as a precursor to Hell's portal device here. In some ways, he must have been related to Soap Sally, because he used human fat and bone to construct these boxes, which if you look at the lament configuration in the movie, it does not look like a bar of soap, maybe a really fancy gold-plated bar of soap, but no bar of soap that you would ever think of. So going a bit further into the tell, this guy, Duc Le Lissant, fucking all, wow. Whatever. Yeah. So this other guy commissioned this box because he was obsessed with the dark arts. And he's like, can you like give me a porter to hell? And he's like, let me get some like people soap going. And thus, like Hellraiser Bloodlines explains all of this stuff.
And this is all in the lore, right?
This is all like in the
historical.
Lore.
This is lore.
No, this is not historical. This is
guy,
like
this hell portal is not historical.
Hell portal. I mean, it just depends on your car rider line or TSA, right?
I know where the hell portal is.
So the lament configuration is basically taken from Pandora's box. Mm-hmm. So in Greek mythology, Pandora's box was a gift from the gods to Pandora, the first woman on Earth. And it contained all the evils of the world, which were released when Pandora opened the box, which is the same premise, basically, as like Hellraiser. In the South, we call that opening a can of worms. And we have a bunch of metaphors for that. But that can of worms being like bringing about great troubles and misfortune that you don't even want to go into. And like I said, in the South, we know a lot about cans because as far as can of worms, we also have a can of whoop ass that we can bring about as well. So why all the talk about boxes and portals and stuff? Yeah.
Sorry.
Apparently, the movie inspired a small square room in northern Louisiana where there's floor to ceiling and wall. Or where the floor and ceiling to wall is composed of one giant mirror. And it's known as the devil's toy box.
Toy box. No.
Mm-mm. Okay. Me either until this week.
Ooh.
So interestingly enough, certain of my kin folks who are very sensitive to the other side and they see ghosts or feel bad energies make me take down like all the mirrors in the guest room before they come and spend the night with me. And this kind of like made me think about this, you know, devil's toy box. So this reminded me like the mirrors are like something like portals or like mirrors into or windows into other worlds and stuff. And so when I, you know, found this story, I was like, this is really interesting. So we have the haunted chicken coop, chicken house. What did we fucking call that?
Chicken house.
Chicken house. Which, you know, a chicken house is also like another word for cat house.
Is it? Is it?
Well, that's like more of a drug connotation. Oh, is it really? Okay.
I'll have to look into that. Yeah. Anyway, disregard
that. She's on the chicken. She's on the chicken head.
Chicken.
That's like meth.
Okay.
Chicken head?
Yes.
I'm learning a lot of things.
Thanks, right. Sand Mountain. Taught me a lot.
So we have our local haunted chicken house, but in Louisiana, there is an annual haunted house attraction called Farmer Graves Haunted Orchard. And apparently it was pretty dull until the Halloween of 2014. When the owner decided to add several new interactive installations to the original lineup and built a windowless shack called the Devil's Toy Box. Supposedly, Farmer Graves closed less than a week after opening that year because the number of people had been hospitalized after going inside the new attraction. So rumors were flying around the high school. So you know it must be true, but no one could stay in the mirrored room for more than 5 minutes. The man who lasted the longest, Roger Heltz, was a 52-year-old father of three, seems to have had a stroke and lost his ability to speak while he was in the room. One woman suffered a heart attack after 90 seconds inside the mirrored box, and a 17-year-old boy had to be dragged out, kicking and screaming. A few weeks later, he ended up committing suicide.
What?
So whether or not the box is related, the town officials were quick to act on getting the farmer's grave shut down and keeping it out of the local papers.
Ooh.
Of course, it spread like wildfire on Facebook and all the other socials. Plus, the good old small town Southern rumor mill was in full effect. The mirrored box was the only thing anyone could talk about, and it had become the local legend in a matter of a few months. So, Will and Darlene Sawyer owned the Farmer's Grave Haunted Orchard, which I'm not going to say that a lot. So, we're going to call it the FG Ho. FG Ho. Haunted Orchard. Ho. Haunted Orchard. Ho.
Got it.
When the town council ordered the business to be shut. So they were obviously pissed that they left everything standing just as is and hoped to, like, appeal the ruling. Of course, that means the box was still open for business in the eyes of the local kids. And, you know, stay off my yard, get out of my mirrored love shack is, mm-hmm. like, something that does not deter local teens. So they started venturing out to the orchard at night to see for themselves. To get to the FG Ho, you had to walk past an actual orchard towards the back of the property on a narrow two-lane dirt road where the remains of a Satsuma orchard was. Satsuma,
yeah, those are the ones in New Orleans, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So this is Louisiana, right? So one night, several seniors from the local high school snuck out after a football game to Sawyer's property, and they claimed they walked down the narrow two-lane dirt road and found the devil's toy box padlocked. They didn't know that Will Sawyer had snuck up behind them, and when he asked if they wanted them to, like, if they wanted to go in, the boys, like, jumped and screamed because, you know, he snuck up behind them. And they took off like the devil was chasing after them. And Mr. Sawyer started laughing and told him to come back, that he wasn't mad at them for trespassing. And in fact, he seemed genuinely happy to see them. The guys decided to take him up on his offer and have a go inside the box. At least the ones that weren't already halfway to the highway by that time. So Mr. Sawyer took out his key and removed the padlock. Then the door seemed to open of its own accord, like a hungry mouth eager for food. One of the boys mentioned that he actually forgot to pick up his sister from the local skating rink. Ooh. So they all took off and Mr. Sawyer just laughed as they ran. So that's how these rumors about the midnight screening of the devil's toy box began to circulate in the small town. Most of the people who ventured out afterwards claimed that they would encounter Will Sawyer after waiting beside the toy box for an unspecific length of time. A few even said they went inside the box, but these claims were always dismissed as bullshit. No one came outside of the box that was coherent enough to speak about it. A girl, Erin Morris, claimed that her boyfriend, Troy Hunter, went there with a group of friends during one of these midnight screenings, and no one has seen him since. The parents' boys reported him as missing, and Erin tried to tell the cops that she thinks something went wrong at the FG Ho.
FG Ho.
But no one would take her seriously. So after several internet searches, she found a reporter in New Orleans, Joel Farrelly, that would go out of their way to help or find out what happened to her boyfriend. So here are his notes on the investigation.
The reporter?
Is a reporter. A young woman, Erin Morris, has contacted me. Her boyfriend, Troy Hunter, has gone missing, and she suspects the former Graves Haunted Orchard, or FG Ho, has something to do with it, and no one's taking her seriously. So Erin's town is only about 3 hours' drive north of New Orleans. So I asked a friend, Jason, and his girlfriend, Gretchen, to take the ride with me. This way, I wouldn't feel so weird about driving all this way to see an 18-year-old girl I met on the internet.
Good call, dude.
Really? Mm-hmm. We met Erin.
It's gonna be creepy.
Oh, no joke. We met Erin at a local McDonald's, the only McDonald's in this small town. She introduced herself and told us about her boyfriend and this local haunted attraction that had been shut down due to these weird circumstances involving a room called the Devil's Toy Box. We decided to meet her there later that night. So a little after 10 p.m., we see Erin near the end of the narrow dirt road that led to the farmer's grave's haunted orchard. We parked beside this tall wrought iron archway that designated the front of the attractions. Armed with flashlights and a can of pepper spray, we walked through to the haunted orchard. The place looked about how I expected it. It was rows of brightly colored plywood shacks and stalls lined this vacant field beside a few rows of the old Satsuma trees that had been covered in like this fake cobwebs and scary decorations. Each shack or stall had a sign displaying the name of the different attraction. One was called Horn Toss, which was a ring toss game where you tried to throw halos onto demons' horns. The other was Werewolf Bowling, which nobody knew what the fuck that was. Another personal favorite was called The Exorcist, which was a mounted squirt gun game that had several wood cutouts of Linda Blair's face as a target.
And it's around and went,
cartons of water tanks were painted below each of the mounted squirt guns, and the tanks were labeled as holy water. So the Devil's Toy Box was actually the last shack on the row, and it was painted bright fire engine red. And the door, which made up one entire wall of the structure, was padlocked shut. Somebody had stacked a few of the rusted folding chairs against the side of the toy box. Erin grabbed one of the chairs and said, "Now we wait." Then Gretchen was like, "Well, how long are we going to wait?" And Aaron's like, "I really don't know." So, looking around, you could see the lights in the distance through a patch of this, like, darkness that was obviously the Sawyer's house. And according to the rumors, they would know when anyone came on the property, and Mr. Sawyer would then come out in a few minutes. And while they were waiting on him, they just kind of sat there and just, like, everything got really quiet and no one said a word. And then Gretchen, knowing that that was their house and they were like trespassing on this property at the end of this really long dirt road, got pretty worried, as you would trespassing on anybody's property in the South, and was like, is this really a good thing? And was considering this whole trip. And she asked her boyfriend, Jason. She's like, "Look, just walk me back to the car." And of course, Jason was a little bit aggravated and they had like the small argument, but Gretchen got her way and Jason walked her back to her car before leaving. Though Jason says, like, "Look, I'll be right back. I'm just going to, like, you know, walk her to the car, lock her in, then I'll come back." So as soon as they walked in, it got quiet again. And then they heard the crunching of footsteps approaching, and out of the darkness of the forest walked a middle-aged man in his PJs and a bathrobe and muck boots. And he's like, "Are you here for the box?" Erin was like, "Sort of." And she showed him a picture of Troy and asked if he had seen that guy. Squinting at the photo, Mr. Sawyer said, "Maybe about a week ago, he went into the box. Most people won't go anymore. But he lasted like 3 minutes. And then we started to hear screaming. So I opened up the door and he ran off screaming into the woods." And Aaron's like, "Where did he go?" And he was like, "Into the woods, girl, like I said." I opened the door and he came out, dick flapping, naked from the waist down, boxers on his head, and his pants wrapped around his neck like a scarf. Bizarre shit I've ever seen. And I can tell at that point, Erin was about to like start crying because she was really confused. And Mr. Sawyer said, "So, you want to see what's in the box?" Then he swung open the door and it was dark inside. But there seemed to be something or someone moving inside. And I thought, fuck that. And I grabbed Erin's arm, turned her around, pushed her towards the car, and shouted, run. So as we ran through the orchard, down the dirt road, we heard something chasing us. And it did not sound human. There were no footsteps, but a long scraping sound accompanied by wet breathing.
Ew.
Reminiscent of like a panting dog.
Oh.
Thankfully, Jason and Gretchen had already reached the car when they heard me scream. And as we ran down the road towards them, they turned around to see what the commotion was all about. And their faces drained of color and terror widened their eyes. Mm-hmm. Jason hurriedly unlocked the car and he and Gretchen got in. And he had just started the engine as we ran up, but the back passenger doors were still fucking locked. And I started banging on the window and Jason seemed to panic push all the buttons,
yep.
Which I can totally relate because I still don't know which button unlocked fucking which in my car.
Unlock.
Yeah. And I didn't want to look behind us, but all we could hear was the approaching scraping sound and the wet breathing moments behind us. Frustrated, Jason finally leaned into the back seat and unlocked the door, but then it already had me.
Ah!
So stay tuned. Ah! The next heart-stopping what? Conclusion of the Devil's Toy Box and After Talk next week on the B-side.
Wow.
Ah!
Okay. Thanks for listening, y'all. Bye.
Bye.